This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
We observe today not a victory of party, but a celebration of freedom.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
The Human Zoo, where they don't hide away the sick animals.
Dangerous mid-morning debate with the great dictator.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Stand to attention when I talk to you!
On Talk Radio.
Dismiss!
Good morning and welcome to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham right here on Talk Radio. We've lurched our way to the end of another month, it would seem, and there are now just 29 days left until Brexit. The big question is, will Theresa May take a leaf out of Donald Trump's book and actually walk away from the table in order to get what she wants? Everyone this morning appears to be criticising the US president for failing to do a deal in Vietnam with North Korea's Kim Jong-un. But in fact, he obviously knows what he's doing. Coming up, we'll explain exactly what happened in Westminster last night, why we are edging ever closer to a deal anyway, and why Norway's wealth fund is investing more money in Britain than ever before. Apparently, they're looking forward to Britain post-Brexit. First up today, though, we're addressing the sorry state of the NHS as we hear that more and more GPs are giving up the ghost and plan to quit within the next 5 years. Apparently, they're not too happy about the way that things are going. Once again, the woeful management of what is meant to be the best health service in the world is crippling it. 0344 499 1000. Coming up a little bit later on, we'll find out why Instagram stars are getting warned off going to Notting Hill because they all keep apparently showing up and having their pictures taken, and whether you should get a smart collar for your dog so you always know where he is. If your dog's wandering about and you have no idea where the dog is, shouldn't you be perhaps re-evaluating exactly what your dog is doing? 0344 499 1000. You listen to me, Mike Graham, right here on Talk Radio.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Now, we often talk about the NHS on this show because as much as there are plenty of reasons to love the NHS, there are also plenty of reasons to be incredibly frustrated by it. I mean, I know people who are still waiting for operations that should have been done months ago, but they're on a waiting list and they keep being told that unless there's some kind of cancellation, I'm terribly sorry, that's not going to happen until possibly the end of the year. And if, in fact, you'd like to go private, you can get it done next week. That is clearly unacceptable. We've now got a situation where GPs in this country are so overworked that basically they have no time to themselves. They have to spend weekends doing administrative work just to make sure that they can run their GP surgeries properly. And they are working sort of all the hours that God gives because there's too many patients and not enough doctors. It seems to me that the people running the NHS don't seem to have a clue precisely what they are doing. 0344 499 1000. I know that you always want to tell us stories. Some of them are always heroic stories about the people that work inside the NHS and the hard work and the hours that they put in. But some of them are also about how difficult it is and how frustrating it can be trying to get treated on the NHS when you are not in an emergency situation. Let's talk to Dr. Lawrence Gurlis, who's a GP at Same Day Doctor, because the latest story that I'm seeing today suggests that in about 5 years' time, half of the GPs currently working will have quit. Let's find out from Dr. Lawrence precisely why. Dr. Lawrence, a very good morning to you.
Good morning. Yeah, this is a complex situation. Let me say, I am a fan of the NHS. I still think it's a very good system.
So am I.
It's a very fair system. And I actually don't blame the politicians. I think it's down to the general public. We voted for this system that's free at the point of use. It's comprehensive, so it does everything. And it offers, you know, free emergency treatment to people from overseas and so on. So I think that if you set up any system like that, for all the good with it, you are going to get places where it's used, abused, and
yeah.
overused.
Listen, Doctor, I don't actually blame the politicians no. either, but what I do blame is the management of the NHS, because I think it's badly managed, and
yeah,
I think
actually,
that's very clear to see.
I would agree with you there, and just leaping to the last bit of this article, which is about this Skype consultation.
Yeah.
Now, sure, I agree with going forward, we have to embrace new technology. I get really frustrated. I have to have a fax machine at home and in my office because there are pharmacies and hospitals that will not accept emails.
Mm.
They won't embrace new technology. I have to still send faxes. I sometimes say to patients...
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I didn't even know there were fax machines still.
I can't email a prescription to a pharmacy, but I can fax one. Where's the logic in that? And I think there's a lot of that going on, and we're quite Luddite about new technology. Now, yes, we should embrace new technology. This whole business about doctors not wanting Skype consultations, that's, I think, being deliberately confused in this article. What is actually happening is a company called Babylon has contracted with the NHS in London and now in Birmingham to do Skype consultations for NHS patients, okay?
Right.
Now, in general terms, you and I would agree that sounds like a good thing, but to the doctors who are running their practices, what it does is it creams off the young, fit, IT-savvy patients for whom they get an annual fee and leaves the most general practices in the country with the elderly, the chronic ill, the disabled, people who don't want to use new technology. And so it's actually about loss of income. So I read this article and it said, oh, doctors are concerned about Skype consultations because it means more work for them. Actually, they're more worried about loss of income.
Yeah.
And they should say that. So it's slightly misleading.
Yes, I think that is the trouble with the whole NHS and the problems that it has. Very few people, Doctor, are honest about what is actually going on. Very few people will point at a particular problem and say, this is the problem. And they'll try and sort of couch it in various different ways. They'll try and soften the pill somehow. And it's just not really good enough, as far as I'm concerned.
No.
I mean, we already don't have... We had a story at the beginning of the week about one particular doctor in an emergency situation looking after 500,000 patients.
Yeah.
I mean, it's mad, isn't it?
You're absolutely right. It's if you say the NHS employs 1 million people, if you ask them all how to solve the problem, you get 1 million different answers.
Sure.
And there's quite a lot of self-interest in this as well. You know, when we had the junior doctors strike, I was one of the few people arguing, no, the junior doctors are just looking for more money. But if it's, you know, if it's all from one cake, then I felt that was unfair. They were saying it was about safety. So, look... I get frustrated that we don't train more doctors from the UK.
Yeah.
Young, bright students from schools can't get into medical school because of a shortage of places. Now, I know it's very expensive to train doctors, and it would not be unreasonable to say to doctors that we pay for training, you've got to give X years to the NHS. That would not be unreasonable. But no one's actually tried that yet. What we do is we steal doctors from poor countries all over the world and import them to run our NHS.
And somebody must be making these decisions, Lawrence, right?
Yeah,
somebody
at
some point in the management structure of the NHS is deliberately doing this.
Well, it's part NHS, of course, it's partly the education system as well and the funding and so on. So it as all these things, there are unintended consequences and there are complex situations that... actually haven't changed in all the years I've worked in medicine. I would have been having these same conversations years ago. No one has really taken a grip of it. And my frustration with things like the whole Skype consultation is it's done piecemeal. So the little bit of Skype, it's like when NHS 111 or NHS 24 came in. It was just added on, tacked on to what we already had. What someone should do is say, right, I'm going to take a grip of this. I'm going to stop everything. Right, from tomorrow, if you want to see your GP... you're not allowed to go to A&E for a start. See, A&E should be turning people away, which they don't, who've got sore throats and broken...
Well, the A&E is the place that you always have to go at the weekend because there's nowhere else to go.
Well, yeah, but that's ridiculous. One of my nurse friends used to point to patients, say, read those words, accident and emergency.
Yeah.
Now, which one of those are you? And she'd send patients on her way.
Right.
But she's rare... people with sore throats and broken fingernails and run out of their inhalers will pitch up at A&E. It's not a good system.
No, it's not.
We need to streamline it. We need to say, you know, it's no point adding on a bit of Skype and a bit of NHS 111, a bit of A&E and a bit of walk-in clinics that are separate from your GP. Just tidy the whole thing up. If you want to integrate NHS general practice with some hospital services. That would be a good thing. It'd actually be more, make general practice more enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's a fairly tedious job at times.
Would be wrong, for example, if you couldn't run a 24/7? I'm not. Maybe it's not 24/7, but certainly a 7-day-a-week GP service.
Yeah.
You can't do that in any particular place. What would be wrong with having a GP surgery sort of in a hospital attached to the owner?
Yes, you're absolutely right. And again, that is tried in some places,
right,
but not others.
Mm.
You see, so quite a lot of hospitals will have a double section. They say you go there if you're accident emergency, you go there if you want to see a GP. That's actually a very, very good idea.
Yeah, thank you.
And actually, I would love to do that sort of work. I'd go back into NHS practice if I could work in a hospital setting with all the equipment around me.
Yes.
But again, it's piecemeal. It's bits and pieces. No one is taking a grip and saying we've got to stop overuse. We've got to stop misuse. We've got to filter out, have triage, and say to people, no, you're going back to the pharmacy. You do not come to A&E or even general practice with that problem. But it's very hard to confront patients.
Yes. But, I mean, what we do know, Dr. Lawrence, is that in 5 years' time, we are going to have what sounds like a bit of a GP crisis,
yeah,
if, in fact, all of these GPs do leave the business for one reason or another, because it's too hard. They're working ridiculous hours.
Yeah.
It's being made more and more difficult for them rather than easier. And it's going to be a real problem, isn't it?
Yes. It's already a real problem.
Yeah.
I had a patient yesterday who, I see him when he's in London. He was seeing his doctor somewhere else in the country. He sent me an email later in the day saying, I didn't see a doctor. I saw a nurse and she couldn't do anything for me. Well, that's a waste of his time, your time, because you're a taxpayer, my time. It's a waste of everybody's time. But that is happening all the time in trying to satisfy this overwhelming demand. And there is an overwhelming demand. We're not doing it properly. Some of it must be down to the patients as well, who do make unreasonable demands on the system. But if you provide a system free at the point of use, that's going to happen. I'm not saying we should introduce charges.
But we kind of have, though, haven't we? That's another thing that we've got piecemeal going on as well, because it's actually not free at the point of use for everyone, and it's not free at the point of use whatever you do.
Yeah, that's true. There are some prescription charges for a minority of people are actually quite high.
Yeah.
And as you say, if people are forced to go the private route, then in a sense, that's another form of charge.
Right.
But,
I mean, why is it, for example, because nobody's ever explained this to me, why is it, for example, that if you've got a consultant who is about to do some kind of operation with you, but they say there's a waiting list of, say, 3 or 4 months, but if you say, I'm going to go private, your same consultant will do it for you tomorrow or next week. How is that possible?
Yeah, you see, well, a lot of people use that sort of argument as a way of thinking the consultants are doing that deliberately to build their private practice. The consultant has contracted a certain number of hours to the health service.
Yeah.
A lot of people think doctors who work for the NHS have to dedicate their lives 24 hours, 7 days a week, and they get very upset if doctors do other things in their own time. Look, that's just the way it is. You know, if a doctor...
But that's not acceptable, surely.
It's when you put it that way, it sounds unreasonable.
It does. Well, it does, because it is.
The doctor is being paid on his contract to work, 48, 50 hours a week for the NHS.
Yeah.
If he does other things in the rest of his time, that's up to him
and
the private hospital.
Well, maybe, but also there are several reasons why you might make an argument that it's not a healthy situation. I mean, I'm quite happy if there's a private doctor that does it, but the same doctor causes problems for me because, one, it means that he's working maybe too many hours, and when he comes back to do his NHS work, he might not be as good as he should be. And secondly, he might be using NHS equipment, which is also unreasonable for me.
There have been doctors who have been struck off for doing that. So, look, when you put it that way, it sounds dreadful, but I think it's a consequence of having a system that's overloaded. And I think that is just spilling over the sides, and it's creating a market. It's creating a private opportunity which doctors will gratefully accept.
Right.
In the same way, I left the health service because I found the demand unbearable. I now work full-time private practice.
Right.
Now, really, my job shouldn't exist if the health service is doing its job properly, but there is a demand, unfortunately.
Yeah, and are you finding that demand going up?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Mm.
And the example I gave you of the patient called me yesterday, in many senses, the NHS is the best recruiting officer for private practice.
Right.
Because it is so overwhelmed with demand.
Mm.
That patients, particularly in the wealthy areas, of the world will look to a private alternative.
Sure. I'm not expecting, and I'm not expecting you to have a sort of a magic wand to wave right now. But what can we do to prevent this? What is an impending crisis? You say we're already kind of there anyway. But what can we do to make it not happen?
I think have a really adult, sensible conversation, cross party, take it out of political hands, and say, look. There are other countries in the world that where the healthcare is run in a different way. I think something radical has to happen. Not necessarily charges, maybe an insurance-based system that just tidies up. Because at the moment, it's too messy. It's just too open to too many things and too many people.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to. We don't have to do all the stuff we do on the NHS, and we do a lot of cosmetic work and so on and so forth. I think tidy up, focus on the very ill people. That's what I think. No one who is sick and has a serious illness should have to pay for their care.
No.
But there are other things that are less serious. Maybe we can look at it in that way and have some sort of insurance-based system that focuses and gives the right healthcare to the people who need it when they need it, and the rest have to think about doing it in another way.
Well, I've got one piece of good news for you, Dr. Lawrence.
Go
I've just
on.
Been tweeted a story from December in which it says the NHS will be banned from buying fax machines from next month and has been told by the government to phase out the machines entirely by the 31st of March 2020.
Well, that's phenomenal. And there's one hospital somewhere that's got 600 fax machines. Can you believe that?
I know. It's madness. Absolutely crazy. Dr. Lawrence, as ever, thank you very much indeed. Dr. Lawrence Girl is there, a man who knows an awful lot about why the NHS doesn't work, has got great ideas, actually, as to how you streamline it. I've always said it's way too big. It's unwieldy. Nobody could manage the NHS, so it's managed badly, and that's what's wrong with it. I want to hear your stories, please. 03444991000. Have you gone private to get something done because you couldn't wait the length of time they wanted you to?
I said, I'm sorry, Mama. I never meant to hurt you. I never meant to make you cry. But tonight, I'm cleaning up my closet.
This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham, 03444991000. Got some great tweets coming in on the NHS front. Many of you have gone private. Some of you have had a good experience. Some of you have not. What I'm saying is the two-tier system doesn't seem to be working at the moment. It needs to change, surely. Let's go back to the phones. Tanya is in Manchester. I believe she's a junior doctor. Hi, Tanya.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you.
Yeah, very well. What would you like to tell us?
Right, so... you know the point you made about surgeons who cannot operate within the NHS for months but are happy to take you in privately in the next week.
Mm.
So a surgeon can't very well be like, oh, look, I have some time next week. Come over and then operate on you, because you need a theatre, you need the equipment, you need the nursing staff, you need the theatre staff, you need the recovery, you need ICU beds. All of that comes together when performing an operation. And it's because the NHS does not have the capacity to do that, for example, the next week, that the surgeon is offering it privately.
Right. But it doesn't seem fair, does it?
No, it doesn't seem fair. It's not fair. And I wholeheartedly agree that our management is terrible.
Mm.
And we can possibly... There is money in the NHS that we're spending on locum doctors, private... employing privately the nurses, the bank nurses, all of that. If we could put all of that money into the NHS, into the doctors and nurses that we already have, if we could manage that better, we would be able to do a lot more with the money we have.
Right.
But the sad truth is that it's managed terribly. But just the fact that doctors are happy to do you privately, it's not really up to them.
No, I get that. What's your situation, Tanya? Have you found that the NHS is much more difficult to work within than you expected it to be, or is it about the way you thought it would be?
It's pretty much the way I expected it to be. It's not. I mean, I didn't have great expectations coming in. I've been here only for 2 years. I've been qualified for 2 years,
okay.
And it's been as difficult as I expected it to
be.
But when you're on the inside, you realise exactly how much money is just being wasted because we can't manage it properly.
Right, that's a shame, isn't it? Because it does so many good things, but it just is so badly run in so many different ways. I mean, what is your plan? How long do you stay a junior doctor for?
Well, I mean, I'm planning, because I'm a surgical trainee, I am planning to stay here for a while, but sometimes it's really frustrating and you do wonder whether it's worth it. But for the moment, my plan is to stay.
Okay. And are you working crazy, ridiculous hours that would make everybody shiver?
Well, we do, on paper, we do 40 hours a week, but right. in reality, we do about 60.
Okay. And if I said to you, is there one thing that you could do straight away that would improve the situation that you're in, what would it be?
I think if we could employ more doctors instead of getting locum doctors, because we are employing doctors, but we're just paying them locum rates, which is you could employ three of me for the rate of one locum doctor.
Right.
If we could take a stronger stance in employing locum doctors and employing more full-time doctors, I think that would dramatically improve the situation.
Okay. Tanya, thank you very much indeed for making the call. Tanya, who's a junior doctor calling in from Manchester, saying, yeah, it's absolutely unfair and ridiculous that you can get a private doctor to do an operation faster than you can get it on the NHS. She says there's reasons for that, but she agrees with me that the management is absolutely woeful. And I think anyone who's ever been involved with the NHS would be able to tell you that. 0344 499 1000. I mean, they lose documents, they lose patient records, you know, they make appointments and then they break them. It really is a shambles, absolute shambles. Let's talk now, though, to a man who knows an awful lot about smoothing things over. He is, of course, the Royal Butler, Mr. Grant Harold. Grant, a very good morning to you. Welcome.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Now, we thought of you not only because of your connection to Scotland and a lovely place called Helensburgh in the beautiful county
well.
Of Argyll and Bute, the Ross Lee mm-hmm. Hall Hotel. We mm-hmm. were going to talk about this yesterday, but we're doing it today instead. They've got into a bit of hot water because apparently they've just taken it upon themselves to do a few classes up there in teaching men how to do things like domestic chores, laundry, you know, how to do the dishes, how to make the bed, how to give breakfast in bed to your other half. I think it's all a great idea, isn't it?
I think this is the best news I've heard so far.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fantastic. The thing that makes me smile is, you know, in the world of etiquette, sexism gets used a lot, this label, and
yeah.
people have always been seen as sexist. How is it sexist? Because, you know, this is instead of the ladies being kind of asked to do beds and all this, this is the men. I think this is fantastic. You know, men should be able to bring breakfast to ladies in bed, make beds, do a bit of vacuuming, do ironing. Personal experience, last year I was on a cruise ship, or a super yacht, I think they call themselves.
Oh, yes.
Very, very smart. And I remember being in the laundry room, because that's my favourite place on the ship, of course. That's my true to nature. And the amount of men in this laundry room, I can't tell you. And they were struggling with ironing shirts, but they were trying. And I ended up not giving lessons, but they were all standing around watching me iron a shirt.
Right.
And it was hysterical. But it was great, and the ladies were kind of keeping out of the way, and they were coming up saying to me, because I was one of the speakers on board, and they were coming up saying to me, oh, it's great, we're here, you're kind of showing our chaps how to do things. I thought this was fantastic.
Well, exactly right, because most men don't actually know how to do any of this stuff, and unless they're actually taught by their parents or their mother, they never find out, do they?
No, and funny enough, I was having a talk the other day about the fact that a lot of people kind of, to a certain age now, stay at home. I mean, I was not kicked out the door, but I left when I was early 20, you know, 20, 21. Friends I've got were 19, 18 when they left home, 17 when they left other parts of the world. And you have to suddenly learn don't have to, but I mean, these are really good skills to learn, to be able to iron a shirt. I mean, if you're going to go for a job interview as a young man or even a lady,
yeah.
and you haven't got a nice iron shirt or blouse, whatever, it can affect your chances. To be able to do these very simple, I think they're simple tasks, are vital to life.
No, absolutely right. And also, making breakfast in bed for your other half can get you out of all sorts of trouble as well,
can't
it?
It really can. I think it's a great idea. You know, what's nicer, regardless of if it's for him or her, taking a breakfast tray into the bedroom in the morning, I think it's great. I always say the only thing is, there's a little rule about this. Traditionally, it was normally the ladies that would have breakfast in bed because the men would come down. And your listeners are going to be horrified at this, but the rule used to be, the reason for it, was that the married ladies were already married and didn't need to look for the husband, so they could stay in bed and have their breakfast tray, where the single ladies
right.
had to go downstairs because they were looking for husbands.
Right. And how many of them would find a husband over the breakfast table?
I dread to think, and also worried me, how many married men were down there. That was also a bit worrying.
Yes.
But anyway, we won't get into that. But I'm sure they did eventually find the right husband.
I suppose it must be awkward at times if you're carrying a breakfast in bed tray to some room or other.
It can be.
I was in a hotel with somebody, and the people bringing the breakfast in bed tray to both of us got about 1 foot into the room and then just tripped and fell and dropped the whole lot all over the floor, which was, of course, the most embarrassing thing, because we were in bed and you couldn't do anything, really. I couldn't get up and help them.
No,
I just had to sit there while they cleared it all up.
Do you know, luckily, in 22 years, that's never happened to me.
Right.
But there is a trick. I mean, I always kind of, when I'm training, in fact, I was doing training funny enough in Scotland last week, and I say to the students, make sure that the tray's the other way around, so it's facing towards them. So when you put it down, it's already the right way around.
Yes.
Make sure that you know the room well, you know, somebody being in that room.
Yeah.
Another good idea is you might even put the tray down outside, go in the room, offer to open the curtains first, and then you can make sure there's no obstacles in the way or hazards. You know, it can be a very dangerous profession, the butler profession. People don't realise.
No, I'm sure. I mean, you must have seen some terrible things, which I dare say you could never talk about.
Oh, you know, the amount of butlers that have been lost to handbag attacks, I can't even remember, that trip over the handbags under the table and things.
Oh, God, absolutely horrendous. Well, what's your sort of number one tip for breakfast in bed? What's the thing you must include?
I think you've always got to have toast. And I know people kind of say, oh, but it makes crumbs. But that's the main part of a breakfast tray. In fact, I'm horrified if somebody asks for a breakfast tray and don't ask for toast. I automatically give it to them.
Must be in a toast rack, though?
Oh, yes. Oh, God, yeah. Silver toast rack. None of this kind of cheap nonsense from IKEA. Silver toast rack, all cut. Remember, crust off. All the crust off.
Right.
The listener will be going, what are you going to do with the crust? They're going to go to the chickens. So just make sure you know where your local chickens are and you take them off there once a week.
Okay.
And, you know, that's the thing. Put it in the toast rack, all the corners cut off. Rectangles. Triangles are a bit hotel-y, so let's just stick to rectangles.
Okay.
You know, that's, and the other thing is, don't leave tea bags in the teapot. If you make the tea and you want to use tea bags, I'd go for tea leaf, but if you want to use tea bags, make sure you remove the tea bags so that there's nothing kind of gets stuck as they're pouring the tea.
Fantastic. This is all great advice. Grant, thank you very much indeed. Grant Howard, the Royal Butler, telling you how to prepare your favourites breakfast in bed. Make sure you've always got toast. I think it's National Toast Day, actually, but I'm not having any at the moment. How about this for a tweet from Roy? My ex-father-in-law wanted his knee fixed on the NHS. They told him it was a nine-month wait. The same consultant then gave him a card, told him he could do it in 3 weeks' time at his Edinburgh clinic for £2,500, or a bit cheaper at £2,200 in his Glasgow one. See, that can't be right. That cannot be right. This is Talk Radio.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
More blasted rhetoric from the Banana Republic for people who think capital punishment isn't going nearly far enough.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham
on Talk Radio.
This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. You know what to do. 0344 499 1000 is the number. Coming up at 1 o'clock, it's Matthew Wright, of course, and Kevin O'Sullivan. They'll be in just before the news to tell us what's coming up on their show. We were talking about dog collars and the ability to turn them into smart dog collars that we're now getting from some mobile phone companies. Miles says, never mind high-tech dog collars. I told my 14-year-old son, within your lifetime, babies will have microchips inserted soon after birth under the guise of monitoring their health, and they will be monitored 24/7 from the cradle to the grave. Well, funnily enough, I've always thought that because you can microchip dogs, surely that microchip could be used not just for identification purposes, but to track them as well. So you wouldn't actually need to get a proper tracker on the actual dog collar because they'd already have one in the microchip. But who knows? What do I know about these things? Let's talk to Susan, who's in Exeter. Hello, Susan.
morning, Michael. Lovely to talk to you.
Very
Thank
nice.
You
I'm sorry to say
call.
It's actually afternoon, I'm afraid, Susan, but I'm sorry to correct you.
Oh, you know I always get it wrong.
I know.
We love talk radio and we love our callers. Harry, I love you. You're talking about cod liver oil.
Yes.
That gentleman. Was Harry calling from Portsmouth?
He was calling from Portsmouth, yeah.
Harry, we love you. Cod liver oil is amazing. My mum, she lived to be 84, and she, when she said they were little children, they were lined up before they went to school in the morning, and they had a table. Oh, shit, it was horrible.
It tasted awful. Awful. I remember. I mean, I don't think you can still get it, can you?
You can get it in Holland and Barrett, but I slipped there. I shouldn't say that. You can get it.
You can mention them if you like. I don't mind. I never go into that shop.
You can get it. Why not?
Well, I don't like the look of it. There's nothing in there I want.
There's loads of stuff in there.
Yeah, but I don't want any of it.
Okay, all right.
So, yeah, I don't go there.
Okay, fine. I'll take your comment on board. You've had some lovely people talking this morning, as usual, about the NHS.
Yes, indeed.
Subject. We've had Dr. Lawrence and ladies and gentlemen signing up, giving very, very important comments.
What do you reckon about the NHS? It's not working, is
it? We have a wonderful, wonderful NHS.
No, we don't. It's not true, Susan. It doesn't work.
No, listen, let me tell you. Let me finish the sentence.
All right.
We just need to give it a few tweaks.
Well, quite a lot of tweaks.
You've got ladies and gentlemen, they're giving their expressions. They've even gone to local government about it. People are not listening at the top. They're not listening.
But the management's no good either.
No, this is where we're going wrong. I told you before last year, Michael, we're pouring water into a bucket full of holes.
Yes, true. Yeah, very true. You can't just keep pouring more and more water in because it's still going to disappear out the holes.
Yeah, but they need to listen, and all the doctors need to unite and go up to the authorities and say, look, this isn't working. You need to do something. You need to listen now.
Yes.
But you see, but also, we'll never have a shortage of GPs because we've got wonderful we have wonderful English doctors as it is.
Yeah, but we are going to have a shortage because there's already not enough of them, and more of them are going to leave.
No, I'll tell you what's going to happen.
Go on.
We're going to get doctors from the Ukraine and Poland and Romania. They're dying to get here, and they're very clever.
All right.
They're very clever.
Maybe not so
people.
Much after Brexit, because they'll have to make more than 30,000 a year, won't they?
No, don't worry about that. They'll get in.
I'm not worried.
They will get in. We'll have plenty of doctors.
Really?
But you see, of course we will.
Okay, well, I'll take your word for it, Susan, but mark my words, and when you next try and get a doctor in the next 10 years, you'll find that there's not as many of them going around as you thought. Linda tweeted in and said this, "Rate the state of the NHS. I have private medical care through work, and now I pay to see a GP privately. I'd rather see someone who actually wants to see me. The first time I went about a funny mole, he asked me if anything else was bothering me, and I was sold." Well, there you go. They do care when you're paying them directly, it has to be said.
The smile on your face lets me know. There's a truth in your eyes saying you'll never leave me. The touch of your hand says you'll catch me wherever I fall. You say it best when you say nothing at all.
This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. You know what to do. Matthew Wright will be along very shortly to tell us what's coming up in his show. But right now, we're going to talk about Instagram and Instagrammers, because apparently they're all upsetting people over in Notting Hill, which of course was the scene of that great movie with Hugh Grant. They're all posing outside houses in Notting Hill because they've got cute looking steps. They've got cute looking doorways. These are things that have become a thing, apparently. The big piece in the Times today. We're going to talk now to Rhea Dines, actor, model and Instagrammer, who I don't know whether she's been hanging around in Notting Hill, but if she has been, people are not very happy about it. Rhea, very good afternoon to you.
Hi there, Mike.
How are you doing?
For having me. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. Have you been part of this Notting Hill craze?
It seems so. I woke up this morning and I found my picture in a Daily Mail article.
Well, maybe you can bill them.
Yeah, I know. At least they credited me this time.
Oh, OK. Well, I'm looking at a piece in the Times this morning, and they've got a couple of pictures of various people. One woman coming out of a tent, another woman standing in front of a doorway. I mean, what is it about this kind of activity that is causing so much of a problem for the residents?
I think at the moment for people, I mean, you know, the thing with the Notting Hill houses is they're so unique, they're stunning, they're pretty, and people want great aesthetic for their pictures.
Right.
So, you know, they're finding these houses, and like any tourist, you want to take a picture of it. We live in like a very digital world right now. You've seen it, you want to take a picture of it and put it online.
Yeah, we do. But I mean, I don't know if you remember this one, and I can't tell you exactly where it was, but it was over Christmas, I think, and there was a street corner or a cross section of two streets in Manhattan, and there were something like 15 different Instagrammers standing in the middle of the road having their pictures taken in front of this one particular building. And it kind of highlighted how kind of mad it was, really, because everybody wanted to be in the same place, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm very guilty of it. I'm a fashion blogger. I put it all over my Instagram. And when I put my outfits together, I want a great background and aesthetic for my pictures. But I do think, you know, bloggers in residence, we do have to have a respect for them.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, I do take care. I don't go on the steps. I mainly use the sidewalk and
right.
the street.
I mean, I'm looking at your Instagram account now, and there's a lot of pictures of you outside buildings, isn't there?
Yeah.
And that,
yeah,
I mean, what?
I like
and
is background.
And is that? I mean, but how does a building sort of become a thing? Is it something that everybody recognises immediately? Does it matter?
Do you know what? I don't really know. I think, you know, if you take a picture in a great outfit that you feel great in, you want to put it on Instagram, you kind of want the whole aesthetic of the picture to look great as well.
Right.
And if you've got a background like the Notting Hill houses, I mean, it just completely adds to it, and it right. makes your feed look pretty.
Okay. And do you make a living out of this? I know that's a very embarrassing question to ask you, but I mean, as far as your Instagram account, is that your main source of income, or how does that work?
No, it's not. I actually have a day job. I work for ASOS, so that's my day job. But for me, the fashion blogging is a hobby. I do receive sort of free products from brands
okay.
to put on my Instagram, but I don't necessarily get paid. I just receive products in return.
Oh, okay. You don't have to sort of be all honest about it and say this picture brought to you by somebody or other.
No.
I think for a lot of people, it's just very hard to kind of get their head around. How many followers have you got?
I've just got just over 3,000.
Okay, so that's quite a lot of people who look at your pictures.
Quite a modest amount, yeah.
I mean, people always go, oh, it's nothing unless it's a million. Actually, you know, used to say to people, if you think about that number of people standing in one place looking
yeah,
at you, that's
definitely.
Quite a lot of people.
Yeah, 100%.
Right.
And, you know, people nowadays, like my main source of inspiration does come from Instagram. I see an influencer who I like, I see what she's wearing, where she's standing and posing, and you know, it influences people. It does exactly that.
I must admit, I had very little sympathy for the residents when I read this quote from a guy called Richard Courtney, apparently aged 75, who described the bloggers as bloody irritating. He said, I just said, you're all in my way, so I got in my Range Rover and nearly mowed them all down. I mean,
I think that's a bit much.
I mean, I think winding people on a hill like him up is probably a good idea.
But as I see it, you know, I spoke to my friends about this and things, and you know, we're not doing any harm taking a few pictures on the street.
No.
You know, we're not vandalising the properties. We're actually appreciating them because they are absolutely stunning.
Well, they are.
But I can understand, you know, residents getting frustrated with it if people are, you know, invading their doorways. That. You know, I do get that.
But there's always been that kind of thing. I mean, I remember going to the Cotswolds years ago, and if you go to sort of Upper Slaughter or Lower Slaughter, you know, people are walking past houses looking in the windows because it's a tourist it's a tourist spot. Same in you know, the same in Hampstead. There's parts of Hampstead where people just walk around looking in the buildings. Corfe Castle is the same. You know, I suppose the difference is you guys are kind of maybe, I mean, there's one particular woman here apparently who was sort of changing outfits in a tent and then doing different pictures with a new outfit. So I suppose that could be a bit irritating.
Yeah, so when I've been there, people definitely, they change in the street, or, you know, if you've got a pub on the corner, people will go in and change in the pub because if they're only, say they're only there for an hour, they want to get as much content as possible.
Right.
So, yeah, they will go and change in the street, they'll change in the pub. But as I see it, you know, we're not doing any harm. We're taking a few pictures. As long as we're not doing anything awful, then, yeah.
It's what you call progress, isn't it? I mean, some people might not call it progress, but, I mean, people should just put up with it, really, shouldn't they? If you don't want people coming round to look at your house, don't live in a nice house.
Well, I mean, you know, I do get where they're coming from if they're irritated by it. However, you know, you've got these houses and they look a certain way. They actually are, technically, that... they're famous on Instagram. They're famous in the world of social media, and everybody wants to go there and take a picture.
Yeah, they didn't moan when they started filming Notting Hill there, I presume.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. And they had Hugh Grant and all sorts of people knocking about.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, well, Rhea, listen, enjoy yourself. Where's your next port of call? Where are you going to pose next?
Well, I'm actually thinking, I like the London Bridge aesthetic and the House of Parliament as a backdrop, so I'm thinking maybe there next time.
House of Parliament, definitely go down there when all the crazy people are there with their Brexit flags. You could do a good series of pictures there.
The posing in front of them all.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'll come and help you. And we'll let you know. Rhea, thank you very much indeed. Rhea Dines, actor, model and Instagrammer.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
So if you enjoyed that, be sure to catch the whole show 10 to 1, Monday to Friday on Talk Radio, via DAB, online or via the Talk Radio app. If you have an opinion on the stories we cover, we'd love to hear from you. Call us 0344 499 1000 or tweet at Talk Radio during the show to have your say.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.